bend for it.
And oh no, we had our Sunday best on, of course.
Yes.
Straw hats, which were only about 6 feet.
Yes. I see. Yes. So you'd have your best clothes on, really, wouldn't you?
Yes.
And when would you leave in the morning then?
Well, I think it was round about 9.
9 o'clock
Yes, 9 o'clock.
And all these carts would be dressed up?
Yeah, all the horses in their, you know, colours and ribbons and their tails plaited, and the carts inside would be lined with straw, and all these seats absolutely polished up to the nines, and the carts were all, you know, decorated. And there would be three carts, loads of children. And as they all with these bags and their Sunday best on. And if we were going to Riddlesdown, well, which we did do many times. Oh, I used to love that place. I don't know what it's like now, mind you. Probably very much altered, but...
Do you know the Riddlesdown, do you?
No, I don't actually.
That's Croydon.
Is it? Yes, I see.
Very pretty. Sorry.
Yes. So then you drove through the streets, presumably lots of people would cheer you.
Yes, all the way through there, yes, there go the Sunday school children, you know, and everybody shouting and waving and that. And when we used to arrive there, of course, we'd all be given a drink, because it was always very hot summer days when they took us, and we would have these lovely drinks of orange or whatever, you know. And then we were shown a place where we could leave our bags if we didn't want them on. Then we'd start the games, you see, before the tea, the luncheon. And we used to have three-legged race and sack races and all that kind of thing. And all given prizes. If you won, the first three came in, you all had prizes. And once I won one of those wooden dollies, you know, all dressed up it was. I gave that to one of my sisters, and always with our pennies we took something home for Mother. You know, a bunch of flowers or a little flower vase, which you could buy then, you see, for 2 or 3 coppers. Yes, it was a wonderful.
What about religion? I mean, wasn't there any religion?
Yes, we sang our hymns. Oh, and grace before our meals. Oh, yes. And then we would sing All Things Bright and Beautiful was a very, very favourite one, you know, being in the country, because it fitted in, you see. So we used to have that one regular. That was in the evening before we left, and because we had to leave because it was a long way by horse and cart, you see, wasn't it? Right from the heart of London.
And what did you have to eat?
I forget
then.
How long it
did
used to
take. Did
you
have sandwiches, or what sort of things did you eat there?
Oh, when we arrived, there was these drinks and cakes and things, and then it was a good meal, good luncheon. Yes, it was always near a farm or somewhere where they could go in and order this, you see. And then tea time was arranged, and that was all laid on. Lovely white cloths. Two long, in each marquee there was 2 long tables.
You had a marquee?
Oh, yes. Yeah, there'd be 2 marquees with these long, very long tables, right, the whole length of the marquee. Lovely.
So you must have looked forward to that all through
the year. All the year, I should say. We used to go mad. The night before, we'd have all our things ready to put on. I'd got perhaps 2 sisters, you know, going with me. And my sister, my older sister, Molly, as they called her, she would be going as well to, you know, help with the other 2. And we used to have all our Sunday clothes on, Sunday patent shoes and sun hats, straw hats, 6 pence 3 farthings.
It'd be about 4 and 6, didn't
they, the shoes? Yes, you could get a pair of shoes for 3 and 11 pence halfpenny then.
So what did you, when did you get back then, Mrs. Well, what time?
Well, we used to arrive back home, say about 7 in the summertime, you see.
And then you'd go straight to bed, I suppose, would you?
Well, we'd have to go home and strip and say our prayers and go to bed and, you know, say goodnight to these teachers. And they used to take us all home, you know, everyone to the door. Oh, yes. Never unloaded you and left you to go.
Everybody. What sort of people were Sunday school teachers then?
They were lovely people, real Christian, educated, college-educated people.
They weren't people from the area,
No, there were nobody from there. Although we did have one turnout, Miss Page, she turned out to be a Sunday school teacher. Other than that, you know, there's nobody else. Yes, they were all...
They were all ladies, in a way.
Oh, they were. I tell you where they live, some of them, in the Albert Bridge Road, in the mansions there. The two brother Eads, they lived there because we went to their weddings. We were invited to the evening.
Hayes Wharf used to supply the...
Yes, Hayes Wharf used to supply the horse and carts. They used to give them, you know, for the day. Oh, yes. And the driver, of course. Oh, yes, it's just to sit up there with his long whip with the colours all flying.
That's very interesting. Did Mrs. Despard organise any trips like that to the country?
Oh, no, I don't think she had time, really. No. But when my sister went with Babs, it didn't cost my mother anything. It was all free.
Yes, did she? She just invited your sister, did she?
Yes, to stay with Babs, you see. Yes. Oh, yes. She loved my sister, and as I say, she was great company.
She's not alive now, is she not?
Who?
One of you used to look after Mary.
Yes, Babs is still alive. As we called her Babs, you see, but her name was Via, really. Via Foley.
I think she is, yes.
But we called her Babs. She knew we called her Babs.
But you said Mrs. Despard had a nickname for your sister.
Molly. Yeah.
Why was that?
Because she had two rosy cheeks and black, well, almost black hair. And she always thought that my sister looked like an Irish maid, you know. So she nicknamed her Molly. Always Molly.
Did she do that with other children, then, nicknaming?
No, no, I don't think so. No, she knew we called Via Babs. She didn't mind. But it was in a place where I don't think anybody would have taken on to do what they did anymore. The Salvation Army, they were wonderful people. They really were. They saved that area.
Yes. What did the Salvation Army do there then? What sort of things? They rescued. They came for the drunks, did they?
Yes.
What did they do?
To try to transform. Brought round, you know, the temperance forms to fill in. And as I say, every Thursday night at Bannerfolk they brought this food round, and at Christmas time they had children in for dinners. You know. Real Christmas dinner it was.
Yes. You had a family Christmas, I suppose, yourself, did you? I mean,
well, no, not until my father was well enough to work, you know, do this work. We had Christmas after Christmas with nothing.
Did you
really? We had Christmases. One Christmas, when he was just beginning to feel his feet, when he had a very bad attack, and he bought a little piano for me, a small cottage-type piano. I was absolutely thrilled. He gave £2 for it. Well, when my mother applied to the parish relief, which was then, they said, well, you'll have to sell that piano. Sell it, we did, for £1. So I had no piano. And one year my father was very, very ill. I mean, we never thought he would come out again. And he said to my mother, there were two great money lenders in that area. And they were Irish. And my father used to say, well, don't ever borrow. You know, if you want a shilling, well, just sell something, you see. Which we did. We sold practically everything in the home that year. And it came to it, we got nothing much else to sell. So we had to sell one bed.
And then he got out of it.
Yes.
How did he make the break then? How did he get out of that situation?
Well, when he came home, you know, he was such a fighter. Do you know, on business, at the finish, he was in an armchair. My uncle, my uncle worked for him finally because his health was so bad. He used to carry him out in an armchair so he would go and do business. That was why Mrs. Despard so admired him, you see. He has got such spirit. Wonderful spirit.
What did she look like, Mrs. Despard?
Mrs. Despard, well, she was very, very tall. Oh, I should think she must have been 6 feet, because she was in flat sandals as well. Always wore sandals. And very, very slight. And she had very, very thin. And she had white hair, just a little bit of goldy touch in it. And this grey mantilla lace that used to flow down.
What sort of clothes?
Oh, just really dark sort of, well, I take it was a black dress with a lacy piece here, you know, more Victorian style, with a black overlace thing. Always in that sort of gear. Never wore anything sort of becoming. She was always known like that. Yes, I can always see her.
And you think she was loved in the
area? Oh, yes, I should say. Well, when I saw those masonettes, I thought, well, you know, I was so surprised. I wasn't looking for anything like that. I was looking for my own school. No wonder I didn't hear it had gone. It disappeared.
What about the rough families, though? Did they like her as much as the respectable families?
Oh, yes. And, of course, a lot of them were Irish people, you see.
Ah, yes, of course. Yes. I hadn't thought of that, of course. Yeah.
Yes, you see, they were mainly Irish there, you see. And that was why she did so much.
I understand. I hadn't quite realised that. I see. Was there a lot of sort of anti-Irish feeling there?
Oh, no. No, there wasn't.
Mm.
Nothing like this now.
Because the Irish drink a lot, don't they? They're fond of drink. Didn't that lead to a lot of people criticising the Irish?
Well, Mother used to say the lazy Irish, so long as they drink, they won't work. That's what my mother used to say.
Mm.
And I think, you know, at that time, looking back, she was about right. But I always remember her saying that. Mm. She used to say what a nuisance they were, which of course they were. You couldn't get involved or, you know, help them in any way because, well, they drank so much that it was hopeless case.
Bottom of the pit in a way, yes.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
Well, how they worked and did what they did amongst the filthy children, oh, my word, and they were filthy. I mean, soap then, you could buy for a halfpenny a piece of soap.
Mm.
You could.
Did Mrs. Despard try and train them in cleanliness and keeping themselves clean?
Oh, yes, she used to buffet them a lot.
Did she?
Oh, yes, she would tell them, you know, you do so and so. But she used to love to come into our place because we'd have a nice clean cloth on, you know. And then she'd come in and admire it as though it was a mansion, you know, because she knew our situation, you see, and she knew that these people drank. She knew the difference.
Mm.
Yeah. She's very, very fond of my father. I say, well, Mr. Peters, now you will be. You say, my dear good woman, I'm conservative, I'm Scottish, I'm conservative. And they used to, you know, go on like that. But she still came in. Oh, yeah, she always used to come in and chat to him.
But she wasn't a grand lady then who was too high up to...
What? Nothing like that. Yeah. Never saw anybody as humble as her.
Mm.
Very, very humble person.
So you didn't feel all embarrassed? She was just like...
No, it was like me walking into anybody's place. That's how she was, exactly. Never, you could go to her anywhere. Whether you were Irish or what you were, it wouldn't matter to her.
Could you ring the bell on her house and if you were in trouble?
Oh, yes. Yes, there was a side door there, apart from this entry to the dispensary, you see. There was a side door there which went up the staircase. Oh, you don't need to ring the bell there. As you can imagine, what went on.
Mm.
All kinds of people used to ring the bell and go in there.
But Miss Mansell would answer, I suppose, would she?
Oh, she was there as well, yes, and the Pankhurst sisters. And there was this other one. I don't think I should ever get her name. As I say, she was only in the soup kitchen, you see, as far as I know.
Mm.
But I can't...
If I think of it, I'll let you know, because I've got a... A talk I had with Via Hinton, as she now is, Foley, and she might have mentioned this.
Yes, yes, she had short, bobbed, auburn hair, very, very thin she was, always behind the counter, the long counter in the kitchen, ducking out the soup. Nice to be in there helping. I can't think what they called her.
Well, when you joined in with the women and chalking the pavements and so on, it wasn't because you believed in women's suffrage, I suppose. It was just a way of getting some money, was it? Or did you really believe in it, actually, when you were doing it, do you think?
Well, no, I don't think so, because I was too young, you see. And not only that, I was doing it as a favour, because my sister worked for them, you see what I mean? And not only that, I was getting this sixpence, which was marvellous.
Mm.
Sixpence a week was a lot of money. I mean, I was left school nearly 15 before my father gave me threepence a week. That was to brush and steam and clean his trousers, bowler hat and shoes every night. And that was a lot of money, and my mother disputed it. She said, you know, that's too much money. I said, well, I don't want to take it, Mum. So she said, my father said, well, you have it and save it. But that's how it was. So therefore you grow up not to expect anything. But how I came out of all that, because I say I had all those brothers and sisters to bring up, an invalid in bed, flat on her spine, couldn't move. I had her to keep clean, a big house. Three children of my own. My oldest daughter's 50 this month in Wiltshire.
What did you do, what did your sister do in the dispensary then? How did she help? Or she helped in the soup kitchen, did she? Or was it in the dispensary?
In the dispensary. With Miss Mansell.
What did she do actually?
Well, she used to help her a lot, bathe the children and, you know, we'd roll the bandages and that and put on whatever Miss Mansell said, and then Miss Mansell would finish that case off and say to me, now give that little boy a tin engine to pull all the way home with string on. And the little girl, a doll, and they used to wipe their little eyes, and away they would go. And it all cost money. Didn't cost them a penny.
So was there a Catholic church nearby at all?
Well, that was the St. Joseph's where Babs went. That was Battersea Park Road Station. Right next door to Battersea Park Road Station, that's still there. It's a beautiful convent.
I think I must go there, mustn't I? Have a look for myself at this area.
Beautiful convent. That was where she went daily, you see, there. It was quite a walk from there. She had two bridges. That was, Milfond Bridge, the Dog's Home Bridge, past the Dog's Home, cross another road, and there it is, right on the corner. And next to it is the Battersea Park Road Station, railway station to Victoria. And that convent inside, I'd never seen anything like it. It was beautiful. And my father and I went there. We had climb stairs to go right to the top to view this place. And the Sister Superior said to my father, I'm very, very sorry, Mr. Peters, to bring you all the way up the stairs. I've heard about your complaint from my friend that recommended you. She said, now sit down and I'll give you a nice hot cup of cocoa. Mm-hmm. And we both sat down. I shall never forget it. It was awfully nice.
But were the nuns and priests and so on, were they active in your area at all or not?
Oh, yes, they were. All round there, yes. Mm. Oh, yes, they visited all round there. Mm. Did a lot of good work. Of course, for the sake of the children, as you say, there were dozens of children running about with nothing on. Mm. Cold weather, blue feet with the cold. That was London.
Mm. Did your father go to the Church of England then? Was he attached to the church there?
Yes.
St. James, wasn't it?
St. James's, yes.
Was he a sidesman or anything like that?
No. Once a month we used to go to the big church in Battersea Park Road, St. George's, which is a beautiful old parish church. And we used to go there, you know. They used to be packed. You could hardly get a seat in there. Mm. Beautiful church. Yeah.
What did you do as a child there then for recreation and in your spare time? I mean, you didn't have any television, no radio, anything like that.
Well, I had that piano, and then I had a little, after that my father bought a little harmonium. I had that, and of course needlework, you were never without needlework. And what else did he give me? And a harp. Then I had a mandolin, but couldn't keep up with the price of the lessons, half a crown for two lessons, so I had to drop that.
But most of the children, I suppose, around there played in the streets, did they?
Well, they did, yes, they did, which we weren't allowed, you see, because we had our Bound of Hope, which took Thursday night. I mean, other nights I had washing and all the clothes that my little sisters wore, and bonnets all had to be goffered and starched before they were ironed. So I had all that. We used to have a great long line in the kitchen full of starch bonnets and aprons and things like that. All had to be done. That was your life.
You were expected to help in the home then?
Well, we did, and we liked it. We liked doing it. Mm. And then you see, when I left when I came home from school, I would have to go to the butcher's for my mother, which was about a mile away, and get the beef and stuff for the next day, you see. Pound and a half of Faulkney beef and mutton, not too much fat. And if I didn't say too much fat and went home with too much fat, I'd go all the way back with it. Yeah.
So it was quite a hard upbringing in a way, wasn't it?
Oh, it was. Well, what, standing on that Vauxhall Bridge, when I think of some of those little children there with nothing on their feet, thick fog perhaps, you imagine it. And the little bakers was over there. When we got to the foot of the bridge, we had to cross over like that. That Spikings was the name of the bakers. And if you got there, there was no bread. Oh, dear. You used to get a big pillowcase full like that for sixpence. All the rolls or whatever was left from the night before.
Yeah. Did you ever go up to London for an expedition or anything? I mean,
when?
You went out in the country, didn't you, in the summer. Did you ever go to the Tower of London or to see any of the sights in London?
No, never had time, never saw anything. I mean, Arthur says to me now, Mum, have you ever been there? I say, no, lived in London, never seen anything. No, it's true. And I never went into Westminster Abbey until his sister came from Australia, didn't she? Yeah. And she wanted to take her son into the Abbey.
And she lived right on top of it too.
Mm. So she come on, Margaret, she said, we'll go to Westminster Abbey. I said, you know, I said, Connie, I've never been in it. She said, oh, don't. I said, no, really, I haven't ever had time. So she said, oh, and it was beautiful, it really was.
Because really the cinema only started appearing when you were a teenager, didn't it?
In any case, we never went.
We had seen a film yet, not in the cinema.
We were too well occupied at home. You see, there was so much needlework to do. And after tea, I had all the shoes and boots to clean. Mm. You see? We had all
eight to look after.
Yes, I was going to say, how many in the family is your mother and father?
We had 11. We did have 11. The mother lost 3 with after effects of measles. Because at that time, she had a tray from the News of the World because she had 11 children. Yes, it was our Sunday tray, the willow pattern. Yes.
They gave it, yes.
Did they really? Yes. Like when I had my twins, that's 41 years ago, and we lived in that lovely house, and I was attending a clinic because having two, you know, the daily feed was a bit awkward, so I thought, well, my doctor said you should go to the clinic, so I thought, well, all right, in case. And they wanted me to put them into the baby show in Vauxhall Park, you see. So I said, oh, I don't think so. I said, they're very small. They said, oh, you don't know. Anyway, there were 300 babies, 10 sets of twins with about a week between, and they won the first prize. Yes, a certificate and a cot set. And then my brother sent away to a paper. They were giving £10 bounty then for twins, and I had £10. Which I had a cot made for them.
But the News of the World actually gave your mother
this
a tray for having 11
children. And we lost 3, you see. Oh, yeah. 2 boys and a little girl.
But you were number 2, were you?
No.
You had an elder.
No, I had 2 above me.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I had 2 elder sisters, then me, then my brother, then another brother, we lost in between, then another brother, then a girl, then a boy, my brother John, then a girl, then a little brother. I've lost my youngest brother. He was only 3 when my parents died. And he didn't know them at all. And he's just died headmaster in Lincoln. Very, very sudden, at 47, the same age as his father, didn't he, Arthur?
How did your mother manage all this huge family?
Well, she couldn't without our help, could she?
No, I was going to say. I mean, how did she cope? She must have been on her rushing around all the time.
Yes, well, she did. Mm. Yes, well, we all had our jobs to do, and that was our life in the home. Mm. See, and you went to Band of Hope, that was a real treat to be able to go out. My word. And as I say, to go on that hay cart out in Well, we thought we were going to the other end of the world. When my father bought that pony and trap and took us to Wimbledon Common, because it was a lovely common in those days, not built upon like it is now, it was beautiful. And we used to let him loose the pony, you know, for a little trot. And all the shops, my father used to do a bit of shopping, bring home things for Mother Baker's and that. He would stop on the way my father used to say, no, nothing today, and only would trot, you know. all the way to Wimbledon Common. He thought we were going to the other end of the world. My friend said to me, don't forget, Margaret, when your people come about Mrs. Despard, don't put the bit in about my other friend at Guildford. She had three brothers. And one of them came in one night and he said, that's the suffragettes out there shouting. He said, I think I'll go and get your big hammer. She said, don't you dare put that bit in. Yeah. Yes, they were out there every day and night. Well,
were they really?
Yes.
Did they get badly treated, the suffragettes?
No, no. No, as I say, they were mostly Irish round there, you see, and they had so much done for them, which is quite right. They upheld it. Mm. Oh, yes, she had great support there.
Not even the drunks, and the drunks didn't stop them talking.
No, oh no. Mm. No.
That's interesting.
Oh, she was too well liked. Mm. Mm. But when I saw those masonettes, you know, it brought back things to me. And I thought,
was going to have a look, because I
yes.
But did you lose touch with Mrs. Despard when you moved then?
Yes, we did. Yes, I didn't hear any more after we left that area. When we went to Clapham. Of course, the Second World War broke everything up, didn't it? Yes, it broke everything up then.
That's a fantastic story. I think Mrs. Hinton mentioned that to me. It was a special van.
Yes.
What did it look like, actually?
Well, you know, it was the shape of an ordinary ambulance kind of thing, but it was like a brake, all in that brown wood, all horrible looking thing, with deep doors at the back. And they used to bring this spray out, take the beds out first, take them away and bake them in these big ovens, and bring them back and spray the house.
I see, this was when there had been a case of...
Yes. And there wasn't a house there that hadn't had it. Of course, it spread, you see. Mm. Thickly populated area like it was. It used to spread and there wasn't anybody that hadn't had it come to the finish, you know.
Mm. So, in a way, what you have to do is to spread an awareness of how to keep healthy, really.
Yes, you did.
Right,
I mean. Oh, you did.
So, Mrs. Despard probably did things like that as well.
Yes. Yes, and at school we were always picked out for cleanliness and clean shoes and that. It was a thing that had to be done to separate you from the rest, you see. Oh,
how
yes.
do you mean picked out? I mean, you actually put in separate classrooms, were you?
No, no, from the class. You know, the teacher would say, come out, so-and-so, Margaret. Your lovely clean shoes, you come back this afternoon with clean hair ribbon, you see. That was an example, you see. They had to do it because of all this filth that went on.
So in a way, the schools were not just teaching you arithmetic or your three R's. They were teaching you...
They taught it well.
They were teaching you as well how to...
Cleanliness.
Live.
Yes, we had hygiene lessons twice a week. And my word, you knew how to keep yourself clean. And you wouldn't dare go to that school... In the afternoon, if you didn't have clean ribbons on your plait, you had to have your hair plaited at that school, that was a mistress. And if your ribbons weren't clean on, you had to take them off if you hadn't got any clean, we always had some. You had to roll it out and make it look as though it was, you know, and flatten it out. Oh yes, that was a wonderful school that was. Mrs. Despard knew it too. Yes, you were chosen, stood in front of the class, and you got marks for it.
Where was that, Raywood Street?
No, Sleaford. No, we went to Raywood for cookery. For cookery
Sleaford
classes.
Was an infant school, was it, or what?
No, it was an infants downstairs, 300 infants, 500 girls, and 500 boys. That was at the back, the boys' entrance, and ours was upstairs and the infants downstairs.
So you were there from sort of age 5 till 13 or 14?
Yes, to 14, age? Yes. Mm. We were in the top standard 3 years. Standard 7X, 7X, XXX, 7. Couldn't move any further, you see.
So were the teachers trying to make the children respectable in a way?
Yes. Oh, yes, they tried very hard. But it wasn't so much of that in our school. There were only about three families. I often say to you, don't I, Arthur, about these three families that weren't, they weren't fit to be in that school. It was mostly the Catholic children that were neglected, you see. But she kept the standard up in that school to remind us not to think like that, you see. So we had a wonderful school, wonderful headmistress.
But now it's gone back to the original. It's all blacks there now.
Supposing you had, supposing a child came who had dirty clothes on, what would the teacher do then?
Well, first of all, in the hall after prayers in the morning and their morning hymn, everybody had to, you know, look on, face that way and look on the back in front of you. If there was any fasteners, buttons or anything off, sent into the class, needle and cotton, put it on. Oh yes, talk about particular. Well, that was the school we were in, and that was the area we lived in. But my word, we never mixed. We weren't allowed. But often I've seen my father cry and say, you know, I should be glad when I can move away. But at the moment, it's my living, you know. So we shall have to stay until such times as
so
I
So he was
can.
Always a cut above the people around him, you think, your father, was he? I mean...
Oh, yes.
What did he start off as, Mrs. Wells, then, before he came to the... before he had his down, his bad patch sort of thing? What was he doing before?
Before he had the asthma and bronchitis, it was just a sort of engineering, I believe it was. So he had to branch out in something, you see. There was no work for anybody. All the trades were gone, weren't they?
Yeah.
You couldn't get into your tool trade in Cambridge, could you? That was all flat. He walked the whole country, Wolverhampton, everywhere for a job after being in the war in the trenches for 4 years.
5 years.
Five years.
How did your mother get on with your father? Because they must have been a team, wasn't they?
Yes.
Handled this.
Happy life, that was our...
They were happy, were they?
Had nothing. We hadn't got... not a halfpenny between us some days. And there was that home, happy life.
Well, they had to stick together, didn't they? Otherwise they couldn't have... run the whole thing, couldn't
it
they?
Wasn't the point. Didn't come into it. Nothing like it is in the air now. No, nothing like that at all. Happy, we were songs to sing, because we had a gramophone finally with a big trumpet.
Yeah.
And you see, I used to buy sixpenny records, or if we could afford HMV for one and Throppens, we had one of those. That was our life.
Were they strict, your parents, with you as children?
Oh, yes, yes, regards table manners and bed and up in the morning and everything in order overnight, ready to dress. Oh, yes. Yes, we had a wonderful home life. I had a father who could do anything.
What, you mean in the home? You
yes,
mean?
Any mortal thing, didn't matter what it was. I've helped him when he's been doing the shoes before I've gone to bed, and I've put the heel ball around the heels and that kind of thing. Hand sews, and so my sister, she had six patches in one boot once. You couldn't see them. He inserted them right in. And all the eyelid holes that came up here, he used to take those right out and put new ones in.
You had to make do and mend in those.
Well, we had to do it. I've been doing it ever since.
But he kept out of the hands of the moneylender all the time.
Yes, nothing.
There was one actually in the area, was there? Or just
two.
Nearby?
There were two.
Were there really?
Yes, two Irish moneylenders.
Really. Yeah.
Yes, they were very, very, forceful. I think they used to charge threepence in the pound, something like that, interest. No, not my father. We just sold everything. We had some lovely flower vases I always remember taking out and selling at sixpence.
You took them yourself, did you? To the... Where did you sell them,
actually? I sold them to one of these moneylenders. Their name was Ryan.
Yes.
Mrs. Despard knew them.
Yes.
But she used to say, she used to come into my father and wondered how we managed, you see, because he would never let on. I mean, he never said to her, well... we haven't got this, we haven't got that, because we were all tired and we'd all been making and doing. And, She used to sort of admire him, you see.
She never gave him any money then?
No,
no. He wouldn't take it?
No, fear. Not my dad. No.
Well, that's a really good picture.
Hey, bye.